Well, good morning, prayer partners. It is a privilege to be with you once again on this Tuesday morning. I don't know about you, but I missed you last week. And it's good to be back as the sun shines and the ice melts. And we're back in prayer together for a time of training today. And whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're watching live stream or maybe as you listen to this recording at a future time, I just want to say good morning and welcome to prayer training here at Parkview Church of God. You know, part of our purpose as prayer partners is to pray for the church family. And even as we speak right now, one of our church family is going to be wheeled back and undergo a stent in his heart. And his name is Max Twiner. And I don't know about you, but if I was Max, I wouldn't mind a bit our prayer team lifting him up in prayer right now. He's at Mississippi Baptist Medical Center, and we want to pray for him. So I'm going to begin a little bit differently. I'm just going to bow, and I'd like to invite you to bow with me as we pray for Max. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And we know, Lord, as prayer partners, we're committed to praying for the lost, for the church family, and also, Lord, for the leadership and even me, the pastor. And we thank you for these great purposes that unite us. But that one purpose of praying for our church family today, that brings us to you at this moment with this particular request. I pray for my brother and our brother, Max Twiner, as he undergoes a stent being placed in his heart. I pray that you will be with him and with his wife, Fran, with the doctors and nurses, and we pray for a successful procedure, and we ask God that you will be his healer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to begin with a story, and for several of you, this is a review, but I think it's a great way to introduce our fourth prayer killer as we go through a series of things that we've been learning need to be identified and eliminated from our lives, namely prayer killers. The story goes like this. I'll keep it brief. But as a young boy, probably 7, 8 years old, Mom took me to the grocery store one day. And we went through the aisles and she picked up what we needed for the family grocery list. And as we were standing in the checkout line, there at about eye level for me at that point in my life were packs of this delicious candy called Rolos. And several of you have heard this, and please forgive the review, but it is important for everyone as we introduce this prayer killer. The Rolos, as you know, are one of God's finest gifts. Delicious chocolate. Wonderful caramel in the middle and wrapped in a beautiful shiny gold foil. I mean, if you're 6 or 7 years old and you're standing in front of one of those, how could you not want one, right? Well, I was no exception to that desire. The marketers had done their job and I had to have some Rolos. So while Mama was busy talking to the check register lady, I just slipped out my hand and got a pack and kind of eased them into my pocket. We went out to the car, and I was so excited about what those Rolos were going to taste like. And as Mama cranked the car, I put my pack of Rolos behind my back, and I began to unwrap them, trying to be quiet. You know, not only are the Rolos in a sleeve, but each Rolo is wrapped in an individual foil wrapper. Well, either Mom heard or just happened to look up into the rearview mirror. But she saw me there in the back seat of the car with my hand behind my back. And you know what a mama's going to ask when they see that? What have you got there, Kenny? That's what she called me, Kenny. Don't do that, please. I like Ken a whole lot better. But that was who I was to her. And she said, what have you got? I knew I was caught, and I knew there was no need to hide. I brought the Rolos out from behind my back, and I just showed her. And she stopped the car immediately, put it in park, and said, "Open the door." And I knew this could not be good. So I got out of the car and she said, "Young man, we're going right back into the store." And I knew what she was going to do. I knew my mama. She wasn't going to let this stand. And so we marched back into the supermarket and she asked to speak with the manager. And I'm standing there just shaking because I knew I had to come clean. I could not hide this. She had found me out and she wasn't going to let me sweep it under the rug, so to speak. Well, when the store manager came, she said, "Go ahead. You know what to do." And so I had to come clean with the store manager. I held the pack of Rolos up. I handed it to him and I said, "Sir, I stole these. They belong to you. I did not pay for them. Mom did not pay for them. I apologize." And I handed the Rolos to him and he took them. Now, I don't remember much more about that encounter. I'm sure he probably smiled. I'm sure he probably said, "Son, I'm glad you said what you said." And I'm sure Mama was happy that I had learned my lesson. But from that point on, she had placed a principle in my spirit and in my heart that lives even today, some 60 years later. And that is this. We have to be transparent and honest, not only with God, but with our fellow man, if we want to have a healthy spiritual life. And this is the story that I chose today to identify the fourth prayer killer in our lives that needs to be identified and needs to be eliminated from our lives. And that prayer killer is this: lack of transparency. Lack of transparency with God and others. Lack of transparency with God and others. And that principle, that understanding arises from a scripture in James chapter 5, verse 16. And I wanted to just look at that with you this morning. James, of course, was the brother of Jesus. And James wrote a book in our New Testament by his name. And James is a very practical, down-to-earth, straightforward kind of person. And this isn't our first time to go to his book as we identify prayer killers that need to be eliminated from our lives. But this idea of a lack of transparency and the need to be transparent with God and others, it all comes to light in James 5:16. Here is where James writes, and I quote, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." That phrase, "confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed," there's where that principle of a prayer killer out that we would call lack of transparency finds its spiritual basis. James knew, and he wrote it long ago, that if we hide behind our mask and we never are really open and transparent and honest with our fellow man as well as with our God, somehow we can't expect for our prayer life to be strong or our relationship with God to be what it needs to be as we pray to Him. This is the prayer killer that I think we need to all be aware of and to ask God to help us identify in us and to eliminate from our lives. As it says, confess your sins to each other. That's our fellow man. And then it says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. When those things happen, transparency comes into the situation and healing comes into the heart. That's what we want to remind ourselves of this morning. What's the solution to this tendency, which I think we have to all be honest, where we have a human nature that sometimes is proud and wants to hide our imperfections or our faults or even our sins from one another? What is it that would be a solution to this tendency for a lack of transparency creeping in to our lives? How do we avoid that? How do we eliminate that? I believe we can address that and avoid that and eliminate that by finding and being a prayer confidant. A prayer confidant. Now, that's a term I've not used with you yet. You know, we are prayer partners, and prayer partners partner in prayer to God. And we pray for lost souls, we pray for the church family, and we pray for the church leadership, including your pastor. But a prayer confidant is something different. A prayer confidant is a trusted friend who knows God and is able to keep a confidence. A prayer confidant is someone in whose hands your reputation is safe. You know, not everybody is a prayer confidant, because the prayer confidant is the person that you can be honest with, even with your faults, even with your sins. And that person, instead of gossiping about your sins to others, they go with you to God in prayer. And as that sin is confessed, the healing of God comes down. There's something about bringing a fault or a sin out into the open with a trusted prayer confidant that heals. I believe that with all my heart. God has given me a prayer confidant. By virtue of that term, I cannot divulge this person's name. But I have permission from this person to tell how we became prayer confidants. You know, as a pastor for 30 years, I've had the privilege of meeting lots of people, lots of ministers all over the state of Mississippi. You know, I've pastored in two churches. I've worked with area pastors in youth camps and camp meetings and state ministers' meetings. And so you meet a lot of people over a 30-year period. But out of all those pastors and all of those associations through the years, there's been one with whom I found a prayer confidant. And one day, as I was with this person, he just began to open up to me. And he began to express a fault, a sin, for which he had felt the conviction of God. And he felt like he needed to express it to a brother, as James 5:16 teaches. As he confessed his fault, his sin to me, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, "Ken, you need to express your fault and your sin to this brother. And both of you need to be on your knees." As I began to express the fault and the sin that I wrestled with. By the way, y'all, just in case you didn't already know, and I know you do, pastors are not superhumans. And pastors also face struggles and temptations. Well, I was no exception. And as he confessed his fault to me, and as I confessed my fault to him, we both agreed we needed now to confess our fault together with Holy God. And as we both knelt and we both began to pray, I cannot explain to you what came into the room with words. I know what it is mentally but I can't explain what it was like spiritually. The peace and the healing of the Holy Spirit entered that room, and it was palpable. And we both found healing. And it forged a friendship and a bond that continues to this day. He knows, and I know, at any time, either of us can come to the other and say, "Brother, pray for me. I'm struggling with this area, this situation." And we know that our conversation will be confidential, and we know that that prayer for which we have approached them will be real. And y'all, I am grateful for a prayer confidant. As I said a moment ago, not everybody needs to be your prayer confidant, but one person in this world needs to be your prayer confidant. There is something empowering and healing and freeing when we are honest with one another about our faults or our failures with one another before God. It brings something in that keeping it hidden will never allow. Does that make sense? Lack of transparency with God and with others could be hindering our prayers. And we want, as prayer partners, to develop a strong prayer relationship. I know each one of you are motivated that way. And I would caution you, if you are seeking a prayer confidant, be wise, be prayerful, and the way to find a prayer confidant is to find someone who is trustworthy, who you know is not given to gossip, who you know is not given to talking about confidential matters. Go to that person and be a prayer confidant. Chances are there'll be one for you too. It kind of works that way. So what I'm saying this morning is we've been identifying some very important prayer killers. We've talked about, lack of confession of sin blocking our prayers. We've talked about lack of faith blocking our prayers. We've talked about disobedience blocking our prayers. But this morning's a little different in that it has to do with our transparency with our fellow man as well as our God in our prayer life. As James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins one with another and pray one for another that you may be healed." Now, what I would like us to do right now is to take a few moments and go to the Lord as prayer partners. But we can use the Lord's Prayer as a model for confession. As we go together to Him, we can have in our hearts that phrase, "Forgive us our trespasses." As we do that in togetherness here as prayer partners, we're beginning to get a little closer to that idea of confessing our sins one to another. And as you think about this lesson in the days to come, I trust and I pray that God will give you that prayer confidant. You may already have one, but if you don't, ask Him to provide that one. And then be that kind of a person for someone. Someone who others could come to you and their reputation is safe. Someone who could come to you and they would know that instead of your condemnation, you would just listen. And you would say, "Would you like to pray together about this with our God?" We'll find healing, we'll find grace, and God will work. So let's take that approach to the Lord right now as we wrap up this prayer training lesson. And let's voice the Lord's Prayer out loud together as prayer partners. Could we pray together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to thank you for your partnership in prayer. And I thank you for your willingness to seriously look at the issues that we call prayer killers in our lives. Because y'all, as we eliminate these things, we open up that connection with God stronger, clearer, and more powerful. As James 5:16 says after that challenge, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous man or a woman is one who's been transparent. They've confessed to God and to their fellow man. It says, then, not only are you healed, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. It's powerful. It's effective. We've got some powerful praying to do. Now, I want to wrap this up in terms of our live stream. And in just a few moments, we'll begin our in-sanctuary, in-person time of prayer. May God bless you who are listening and watching. We'll see you at the same time next week here at Parkview's Prayer Partner Training Time. God bless you. Bye-bye.